Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Under the Helmet.
You do your thing, all right? Don't be nervous, okay?
The show that looks at long-term player value in fantasy football.
It's the moment right here. We're going to have to decide what type of team we want to be.
Building dynasties each and every week.
I don't even know your name. What's your name?
Chad Parsons.
I'm telling you, man, you're leading the league in hydration.
I got a dynasty team reaping rewards for the next decade.
Find written and premium audio content at uthdynasty.com.
Playing it safe in Dynasty means you're going to lose.
Stop talking about it, man. Let's get this going right now.
Welcome to Under the Helmet. Got Tim Korch here. I am Chad Parsons. And we got some good off-season topics here to kick things off. Super Bowl in the backdrop here for us. And we really kickstart and we're barreling towards. I actually saw the NFL combine list. I mean, the NFL doesn't waste any time in terms of what is next on our calendars. Combine is up next. We'll have free agency in about a month. As that stirs up, as well as all the NFL draft news as we go through things with pro days, et cetera. But we want to start off in the dynasty trade market here. So Tim Torch and I, we're each going to come to the show with a biggest dynasty buy and a biggest dynasty sell across the skill positions here. So anything goes, could be two quarterbacks, could be hopefully not two kickers, Tim, fingers crossed here, as we don't fact check and double check our lists compared to each other. But why don't you kick us off, Tim? Great to have you back on the weekly show here. Going to have you in the mix regularly, more so than the past 6 months or so. That's a shame on me. But start off with a buy, start off with a sell, wherever you want to go here for your market recommendation.
Yeah, for me, I will start with the buy. And boy, I feel like rewind 12 months, we're right back where we started. And that's with Justin Herbert. If you remember, we were excited. The weapons were great. We were about ready to get Quentin Johnson infused into this roster. And it was wheels up. Season started good, but before you know it, you started having injuries, not only to skill position players. Austin Eckler was dealing with his own injuries. You just saw the wheels coming apart on that offense. And then before you know it, Justin Herbert himself was dealing with his own injuries. Now we're at a point where we're even getting some depreciation because of the coaching that is being infused with the Chargers. And boy, it just feels like he's always going to be a screaming value. He's one of those quarterbacks that you should, in terms of fantasy, and I understand it's not the same as like normal NFL, but when you're talking fantasy, like, Herbert should be up there with the top names that you're mentioning. And I feel like he is going to get passed, and I have seen him get passed so easily by he's already passed by Mahomes, Josh Allen. I think Lamar Jackson is just going to be there or a little bit above. And then people are going to be really excited about the new shiny objects that are coming into place as we get towards rookie drafts with Caleb Williams, Drake May, and insert name here. And I think before you know it, you're going to be looking at him as 7-10. And I'm not even talking about CJ Stroud passing him or whoever else like is excited about another name. So I just feel like Justin Herbert is there in terms of you have to at least test the waters. And that's the other thing. Like, every league has such varying markets, you never know what type of deal you might actually be able to strike for them.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think the hand-wringing over Jim Harbaugh coming in about, oh, he's not going to throw for 500, he's not going to throw 500 passes and all this. We're assuming that their defense is fixed. I mean, even if you think that Harbaugh wants to come in and say, I have an assassin quarterback and I want to neuter him, you know, and make him one of the lowest volume quarterbacks in the NFL. Even if you're under that assumption, game script is going to dictate that. You know, like, is he really going to fix the offensive line, the running backs, the run game in general to say, I can control things? You know, we're going to have 500 plus rushing attempts for a couple different running backs. Like, you can have all the hopes and hopes and optimism for that to be your DNA, but all of a sudden you're down 14-3 before the half and things change. So I think that volume thing, and, you know, I think you want a good coach, you know, independent of, ooh, I think this guy, you know, is going to go for high volume and he's a real pass centric guy versus a run centric guy. We get a good coach, you know, and I think we have good data points that Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. So let's start there. And yeah, the one other thing I would point out with Justin Herbert is, I mean, his career 1.89 big time throw ratio. He hasn't been below 1.7 season of his career. So I a lot of people are just focusing, in my opinion, on the wrong things. Is he a really good quarterback? Yes. And does he have that dual threat? Yes. Is he undervalued? Yes. 26 years old. Like, just look at some of the basics of what he is and then go from there. And like you said, I mean, he's going to have markets that are QB7 to QB10. And that just makes it a really easy within the position arbitrage, especially if you're going from below and saying, well, you know, I tried to get, you know, Mahomes or Allen and I can't get there. Well, how about you go to Herbert? You know, Herbert, and he might be able to get you there, or you might just like being there, you know, over the next 1 to 2 seasons. As this dip or this rebound probably corrects. Yeah, I really like that one. I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara for my dynasty buy. And I was trying to look at differentials. Herbert's definitely on my list as well. Glad I didn't include him, just because it would have been a double up. But the market has him in the mid running back 20s. And I think the biggest reason for that is his age. It kind of has to be, because we're talking about he finished as running back 4 in adjusted points per game this past season. And that's with Jamal Williams there. They drafted Kendre Miller. Neither one was a big factor. And of active running backs, Kamara is tied with Christian McCaffrey with the most top 12 seasons, 6. I have him firmly in the top 15. I have him at running back 11 to be exact. And I'll ask, what's changing this next year? He has an $18 million cap hit, $17 million dead cap. He's not going anywhere. And we've seen the Saints push around piles of chips on the poker table to get the cap to work. But basically, they're going to save $1 million if they move on from Kamara. And he's coming off a good year. There's no reason. Now, in 2025, he's probably not on the team, I would guess. $29 million cap hit, it explodes, $10 million dead cap. So something's going to occur. But it's probably, unless it's a restructure, nothing's happening this offseason. He will be on the Saints, the team that he's been highly productive over these years. And I didn't know this. I was kind of researching for a couple of these data points for Kamara, but he's the only 6 running backs have more projected top 12 seasons remaining by UTH comparable player search. 1.8 top 12 remaining at 29 years old. Why? He's been hyper productive. The other part is he's receiving centric. There's a lot of positives to say at 29, 30, even 31 years old, we could still be seeing a top 24 option in Kamara. So he's priced at his floor pretty much, because if he gives you one top 12 season, it's a pretty dirt cheap price in the mid 20s there. And just, I kind of wanted you to weigh in on what you think. Like, are these the right ways to go about acquiring Kamara this offseason, Tim? Like, and just provide any feedback here. So these are 3 recent ones that I found. Alvin Kamara for a 24 second.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
For yeah, sure. non-first. So even if that's, you know, 201, 202, you'd still make that trade?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Because at that point is when you're usually looking at the...
You hope for a day.
Probably the top running back. While the backup guys maybe doesn't land in a clarified spot or something like that. Yeah. I would definitely do that.
And that's where Kendre Miller went this past year, right? I mean, so you're getting a guy that, is he gonna start? When? You know, and all this. And guess what? Kendre Miller is still waiting, tick tock, and he's gonna be maybe wait until 2025. The next one is Alvin Kamara for Ty Chandler and a 26 second. So you're pushing it way out there. What do you think about Chandler? Is he someone that you'd be holding on to, or more of a hot potato to do a deal like this?
Oh, give me Kamara. the way he came back this year, it's just too much boom. I want that on my roster.
Now this one's a little spicy. So this is the one that it's an arbitrage opportunity. But I wonder what you think of this one. So we've got another older running back in Sir Christian McCaffrey being traded for Alvin Kamara and a 24 first. So how high does that need to be for you to do that one?
Right. Yeah. That's kind of the question. Where does that need to be? And I'd be kind of, yeah, that's probably my number one question. If it's super flex and I can get into that top five,
well, I think that's a tough ask, right? For Kamara. I mean, sorry, for McCaffrey. But here's the other thing. I was kind of wondering, you know, if this is 110, 111, I just think about this. McCaffrey is so high leverage in the that you're not going to be able to get a first probably period if he has any significant-ish injury going forward.
Right.
And then you kind of have to ask yourself, I mean, McCaffrey was obviously ahead of Kamara this past year, but you know, you still had a high-end running back one. So you're adding a year, McCaffrey's in there. So yeah, so it sounds like maybe a mid-first would be that line to make this a good two-way go.
That would move it for me. Yep.
Yeah, because in Superflex, I mean, you'd probably be looking at, well, I can get Kamara and the running back one of this class, or I'm getting maybe it's Malik Nabers, maybe it's Jaden Daniels. Like you're really in the zone of you kind of have to make that deal.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, what do you think for your biggest dynasty sell?
Yeah, I'm always kind of cheeky when I look at this, and I would start with like if someone's willing to give you something, especially in Superflex, like I mentioned, one of those top four or five for a running back, I would definitely do that like in a heartbeat. So that's just something I would definitely consider. But my like top dynasty sell right now, if he's on my roster, for me is Brian Robinson. And I feel that's kind of hot takey because I've actually seen some people float around like Antonio Gibson's possibly not coming back, new regime, Brian Robinson's going to eat, he's going to have everything in front of him. And I think it's really easy just to forget, like, as good as Brian Robinson was at times last year, I mean, he had a couple of very, very good weeks. I think if someone is willing to really buy into that narrative, I would absolutely be willing to sell, because he's not someone who is a top of the line elite physical specimen. He kind of reminds me of like a little bit of a lesser version of Josh Jacobs. Like he can do everything well, but you lose a little bit of that top end gear with him. And I would definitely be willing to make that pivot into something I like more. So he was just one that like jumps out to me. I've seen some dynasty trades where people are willing to give like decent firsts, or even I have no problem like if someone is willing to give you into that top end first range and you need to add a little something to it, that's okay to do. I think people aren't happy enough packaging up picks and saying I'm willing to take a piece plus a second, I'm willing to take a piece plus my first and move into something I really want. And we even had that conversation, we touched on it just a little bit last week as far as the idea of consolidating, and that's something that we just don't do enough of, where we often look at our roster like, oh, that's a pretty good roster, instead of looking how can I take a couple of solid options and turn them into an elite option, one that is a no doubter, one that is one of those profiles where you go, it's going to be a set it and forget it, and then I can start backfilling off of the waiver wire. So he's just one that automatically comes to mind as, man, I would be pushing to use him as a stepping stone to someone else.
Yeah, I think he's in the zone. I mean, you know, some of that, you know, running back 15, 20, maybe the early 20s at the minimum for what the market will bear there for Brian Robinson. And he comes, you know, this is kind of something we've talked about over the course of time, which is, sometimes you take from the middle of your roster and you're trying to add more elite pieces. And someone like Brian Robinson is valuable enough to move the needle, but not so valuable that you're like, well, I'm kind of moving parallel. Like you mentioned, you know, could this get you into elite zone of the draft? Like if you're sitting here at, you know, 108, 109 of a super flex draft, and you're like, well, this is going to get me into the surefire zone. Like if you think there's six good players, you know, that are really move the needle and you're sitting at nine, Robinson gets you in there. You know, now how high, you got to explore the market. You know, I don't think that he'll move the needle more than getting to three or four at the absolute best. But the point is you can get into five or six pretty easily. So that's something that maybe you wait till the rookie draft, but it's also the same sort of thing of saying, I'm trying to make a deal to upgrade at quarterback or, you know, get this wide receiver. You throw in Brian Robinson as something you maybe hold back in the initial offer. Maybe you put it out there, but the point is he will move the needle enough as opposed to, and frankly, again, running back is one where, you lose Brian Robinson, you probably have three guys behind him that could become the new Brian Robinson, you know, over the next 12 months. I'm going to go with biggest dynasty sell here, Jalen Hurts. I had three or four different candidates for this one. I want to go kind of on the spicier Scoville units here for Jalen Hurts. He's running back, excuse me, running back. That is a very apropos twist there. So I running quarterback three by the market. And I understand there could be three, four, five different people that depending on the person you ask, who is QB3 in Dynasty right now behind Mahomes and Allen in some iteration. But for me, it's not Jalen Hurts. So I think that's one of the biggest things. And he's coming off of a huge season. Like when I started digging into some of the rushing stuff, it's pretty, again, this can be like he's a monster, you know, and this is a good thing. I view it as, well, I'd like to buy a quarterback. Like I would like a true quarterback to be a QB3 in Dynasty, not someone that I view as almost a hybrid player. And again, I know he passes the ball, but the point is he's been 14 points per game the past couple of seasons, 14 points per game passing, which is a pretty middling number for NFL terms. And so you have to ask, you know, is he more Cam Newton-like? We have Jalen Hurts with a ton of rushes over the past 2 years, 33 touchdowns. You add in the tush push angle where losing Kelsey could be a big deal. Is this something that over the next year or two goes away to a large degree, you know, and something especially at the goal line? Jalen Hurts has 35 rushes inside the 5 yard line the past 2 seasons, 22 touchdowns on those runs. And I was looking over the past 20 years, Cam Newton is the only guy with more than 14 in a season. So Hurts is averaging 17 and a half over the past 2 seasons. So you're talking about even more, even greater than Cam Newton. And I just think Eagles are going to have to see change. You know, more contracts coming out, Kelsey leaving, and just a team that kind of has to figure things out. What they have done has not resulted in the stature, you know, and playoff finishes, postseason finishes that they've wanted. And so I think this may be a team, and I don't know if they can lean on Jalen Hurts like a true traditional quarterback. And that's going to be something that I think you can't really have these. You want to have him at QB 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and have these questions. That's fine. But I think at QB3 and saying we're forsaking all others, it's just too risky of a profile. Again, we want a guy that can supply rushing. But I would say not at the detriment of having passing questions and not to this degree where it's so short range centric of, I mean, touchdowns. I mean, again, it's kind of nutty. And if you do compare him to a more Cam Newton, more of a power runner, that let's remember how Cam Newton devolved. 26 years old, Cam Newton was in the Super Bowl. And then he turned right back to an average-ish passer. His yards per carry dipped like a running back in his later 20s, and he was basically out of the league by age 30. So the QB3 price is the main problem here. This is not to say Jalen Hurts can't finish in the top three or four for fantasy next year, but it just means when I'm making that much of a price, an investment, whether it's a startup draft, whether he's on an existing roster, the point is he's expensive and you have a lot of options. So you want to feel very, very certain about what you're getting as a profile, a DNA of who he is over the next 2, 3, 4 years. And I just don't have that with Jalen Hurts, which is why I'm below the market. So same game, Tim. I got a few recent trades here, some spicy, a few less spicy, but just see if you would be selling Jalen Hurts or advising folks if they had him on an existing team under these dynamics. So the first one, and we're going to start off pretty hot. We've got Jalen Hurts, Drake London, and a first and a second this year for Patrick Mahomes and a couple seconds.
Oh, I can't do it. I can't.
You can't. Okay.
I'm not that. I get it. I see what you're putting out there. I would pivot. I really would. I can't take Pat Mo. I would take the Hurts package in that one.
Okay. What's the biggest, is the first or London the biggest part of that for you?
But both of them, like both
both,
of those,
okay.
but to, yeah,
Okay.
like getting all of that, that's just,
Okay.
That's a haul. That's a
All
huge
right.
package.
There we go. I look at me out kicking my coverage right away. So, all right, we'll see how we do with the rest of these. We got Jalen Hurts and a third for Josh Allen.
Oh, Josh Allen for sure.
Okay.
Simple.
And even if that's a second too, right? I mean,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
heck, even if it's a late first, you probably do it. So we got some margin there. Jalen Hurts and a second for CJ Stroud and a third.
That would
Then
probably
this.
be one situation I would pivot into CJ Stroud, especially I feel like there's, as much as he's going to zoom up, there's still room for that to go even a little bit higher, as weird as that is to say.
Yeah. Well, I just, part of it is we saw what CJ Stroud as a passer. I mean, we could argue that he showed more here in his rookie season than Hurts has shown
And
to date
Hurts.
of just like having confidence of maybe what's to come. This other one we have, and this blends well with your buy low here, which is, and buy recommendation, Jalen Hurts and Mike Evans for Justin Herbert and a 24 first.
Oh yeah, Herbert for sure.
Lock it
Slam
up.
dunk.
All right. Now we got one more spicy one. We got Jalen Hurts for Anthony Richardson and Nico Collins.
Oh yeah, I would definitely do that move for sure.
Okay.
The Anthony Richardson Collins side.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's, an aggressive downtick, but we could see Richardson pretty much zoom up to Hurts, or they level out, much
Plus,
closer to each
yeah.
other, maybe by October. So it kind of depends on how much confidence you have, obviously, in Richardson and Collins, to kind of be what the flashes, or Collins for this year showed, and that perpetuating forward a little bit. All right, we got one more segment of the show here, and we're going to go into our biggest dynasty lesson and spot we can learn to implement and improve our toolbox this off season. So something. Hey, it could be from discussions with people. It could be managing our own leagues. It could just be self-reflection over the past 6 months of managing our teams to really get it, distill it down to one thing we're going to action plan as we go forward. What do you got, Tim?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but I do want to circle back to it. It's the idea of packaging up and moving into the elite piece and opening roster spots. I have one league in particular, and during the rookie draft last year, I was it was every time I was making a deal, I was getting extra 24 or 25 rookie picks, and it was just that little extra something. Well, we're coming into 2024 rookie draft, and I'm looking at my roster, and I don't have room to really add 5 to 6 rookies. My taxi squad's already full up. So I need to get better at consolidating and moving up. And like we talked about just a few minutes ago, and you mentioned, it's taking from that middle of the roster, taking a couple of pieces and moving into something you're a lot more excited about, or even upgrading to those really quality bridge players that might have a slight discount and you're a little worried about moving off of a younger player. And an example of that I would give is taking like Terry McLaurin and some level of rookie pick and moving into a Davante Adams. So if that's like a high second round rookie pick or something like that, pairing those two pieces together and then getting into a Davante Adams, who's more of a set and forget it starting player. So that's something that I am like personally working on when I go into my leagues, because there's it just gets hard. Like, it's really easy to acquire average players. It's hard to get to the elite profiles. It's hard to get to the top of the market. And those are the guys that make the most impact and the most difference on your teams week to week, because they have the highest ceilings. There's a reason they're 1 and 2 at their position. It's because they, on a weekly basis, they have the ability to become 1 and 2 level performers. So that's just like something mentally I'm wrapping my mind around, is just the idea of how easy it is to acquire these average players versus taking a 2, 3, maybe even 3, whatever that looks like for your team, and really moving up to something that is just a quality, set it and forget it, I don't need to worry about it type of player.
The thing I was thinking about while you were going over that subject is, I mean, you have to have a really deep league, you know, and frankly, I'm thinking of a league with 40 roster spots. I play with Jordan, and it's like even depth to some degree, I think it's overrated in that format. I mean, you know, if you're starting two tight ends, if you're starting two quarterbacks, I mean, you can get thin really quick with an injury or two, some buys, and, you know, some chaos going on. But specifically, you know, wide receiver, running back, like I think the idea, even if you have a bunch of flexes and you're like, you know, I'd like to start X number of wide receivers or running backs, I think it's generally overstated, you know, how much you need. And you're kind of talking about picking from the middle where that actually has value. And the idea that, you know, thinking about the end of your bench as much as we do, you know, you can backfill. And I think the idea of having, like you were mentioning, like having three or four Terry McLaurin types, you know, on the periphery of your lineup, what value does that offer? You know, is that really going to move the needle much? Like you said, and I think sometimes being thin or thinner by doing a 2-for-1 or 3-for-2 or something like that, or, you know, it's really a 3-for-1, you get a pick back, you know, in addition, something like that. I think a lot of people are fearful of making moves like that because they might look at their lineup or what it would be like here in February or March and be like, you know, that's really light, or what am I going to do? Or, you know, that means I have to fix it or start somebody off the waiver wire in week one. I think they have some of these gloom and doom thoughts that they can't kind of process being lighter, you know, at this point in time, or heck, even if they have the opportunity to make a move like that in season. So I think that might be one of the bigger roadblocks mentally for folks getting comfortable with that, of just being, you know, well, you're adding a top, you know, is that a top 20, top 25, top 30 player in the format, and you're giving up some mid-round stuff. I mean, think of that in a startup trade, and you would likely do that, you know, easily, because you haven't even started the league yet, and all of a sudden we get to an existing environment for making that similar type of trade, and I think there's a little more pause to do it. It's crazy because my thing really dovetails and is adjacent to what you just mentioned. And I just came up with this term, so it's not, you know, it's not official or anything. And maybe it's just my way of soapboxing it. But I wanted to call it the pyramid of dynasty trade time. And this is something that I've been doing. I did a little more in 2023 for sure. But it really was highlighted, I remember, by a couple different moments in time where I remember it was, I think it was 2 years ago when Dak Prescott had that in-season injury. He missed like a month and a half or something. The Cooper Rush, you know, look how great he is, section of time that it'll be known as. And I just remember, like, that really started the, you know, Dak Prescott goes down. I'm like, all right, you know, time to go in there and, you know, make a bunch of offers specifically for Dak Prescott. And it really kickstarted the idea of, I don't have time every single week to go and immerse myself in all of my leagues and say, all right, let's look at all the rosters. Let's look at all the different angles for my own team. Let's send out some offers. Like, if you're in five leagues, I think you can swing that and pretty much do it every single week. But if you're in 40 leagues, you can't. And it really started the, how about we focus on what is most important? And that could be a singular sell player. It could be a singular buy player who's injured or undervalued player. But in general, I wanted to distill down the thought, and it works in the off season as well. Obviously things linger and we have more time, but also fewer teams are paying that as much attention to really go back and forth as rigorously and aggressively as they might in week six with the looming kickoff for the week coming up. But here's how I wanted to define it. Spend more time on bigger trades for higher end players and profiles, and less time on lower value options and deals. So I remember years ago, I used to spend a heck of a lot of time and really get my jollies from, oh, I'm going to, you know, there's this flip running back. And I would just really try to spend a lot of time. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to go from a third to a second. And, you know, that's not going to work. Okay, I'm going to try to get a third and this other running back. And I'm going to do all these things. It was really ancillary stuff. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but that's like focusing on, you know, like that's saying you have the possibility to go and make $500 at your job today, but you're going to call, you know, you're going to be late to work and forego some of your paycheck because you're out in the park picking up pennies. like someone spilled a bunch of change and you're like out there picking it up. Like that's the equivalency, right? So I think it's the, you know, obviously you're going to exhaust angles at some point in time, but then guess what? Rookie draft is going to happen, or NFL free agency, or there's going to be an injury somewhere. And then you circle back to going through these motions of looking for those higher value players, like you were kind of mentioning, spending time on that. So I want you to spend more time with the higher end players of, you know, if you're trying to get Justin Herbert, if you're trying to get Mahomes, you know, we kind of mentioned, you know, Alvin Kamara as a big name, if you will, or something that could really help you. But he's not necessarily the most costly per se. But look at angles like that more so than what I described, which is you're sitting there counting pennies because you're trying to sell some guy for a third. Like that has pretty, like, let's be real. In a lot of these leagues, a third round pick, a fourth round pick slash a waiver pick, a pickup, is not all that different in value. It may seem super different in your rookie draft because, oh man, somebody drafted my sleeper at 304. He's gone. Ah, you know, if someone drafts him at 405, there's a decent chance that that person is going to be on the waiver wire at some point. So, you know, I think you just need to keep that in perspective of we focus so much sometimes on that in our little bubbles. But if you say we have 5 minutes to spend on a particular league, you probably want to spend at least 4 of those minutes, you know, trying to make some of those bigger offers that we kind of alluded to. You talked about Brian Robinson. You know, we talked about some target players like Justin Herbert and others. You might maybe want to spend most of your time on that and a little less time on, you know, flipping somebody for a fourth round pick to save the roster spot or something like that. Or, you know, moving from 405 to 402 in your rookie draft. Just because you're going to cut that guy. That is like really, really low stakes compared to the things that are actually going to move the needle, which, again, really, really blends well with what you outlined as well. All right, that's going to do it this week on Under the Helmet. Thank you so much for listening. You can find Tim on Twitter at It's Tim Torch. Any of your questions, comments, concerns, and Dynasty advice and help you may have. He fills up in July and August relatively quick for all of his draft consultations. If you have a redraft league, you have a dynasty league, maybe even if it's a rookie draft, he can help you out, and you can just contact him over there at It's Tim Torch. Reminder that between hearing him here on the weekly show, Tim and I produce content over at patreon.com/UTH. A lot of bonus content over there. Actually, we're going to be have a bonus show this week talking about free agency landing spots, as well as a lot of applicable content here as we go through. There's plenty of content that we're going to be talking about NFL free agency, the combine, the draft process here as we go through the month. So it's a completely separate platform there. So again, if you're enjoying Under the Helmet here, sign up, support the show. You're not going to listen to ads about various products that you'll hear on every single podcast out there. Instead, just support the show, throw a few bucks a month, and get some bonus content over there at patreon.com/UTH. So for Tim Torch, myself, Chad Parsons, until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those things.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.